Another series to a sub-500 team. Another series loss for the Mets, who look like one of those bad teams, as they are a sub-500 team at 18-20. Thursday, they couldn't hit. They couldn't pitch. Wednesday, they couldn't hit, but they pitched. And Tuesday, they couldn't hit enough, and they couldn't pitch. They cannot put it all together, and something's got to give. Should they call up Mauricio? Should they call up Vientos? What spark do they need right now? We'll talk about the struggling state of the Metropolitans with another Mets podcast host. It's Clem from Barstool Sports, the We Gotta Believe Mets podcast. He'll join me as we commiserate another series loss and look ahead to the weekend against the Nationals, where the Mets need a series win like we need air to breathe. We'll talk about the state of the Mets and give you a little Mets therapy session on Amazing But True from the New York Post. It's coming up next.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Queens, New York, Mets take the field.
So amazing, amazing but true, orange and blue, so amazing.
Here's the pitch.
New York folks,
it's out of here.
We got you.
Welcome back to Amazing But True, New York Mets podcast from the New York Post. I'm your host, Jake Brown. Follow me on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio. Follow the show at Amazing But True. Figgy will be back next week per usual after this weird four-game series coming up against the Nationals. And joining me in a few minutes will be Barstool Sports. You've heard him on here before from We Gotta Believe, their Mets podcast that drops twice a week. Clem will join me in just a minute. But first off, before Clem hops on here, you know, the Mets stink right now. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds. They are just losing series after series after series. And I keep tweeting out and saying they're losing to bad team after bad team after bad team. Well, right now they are one of those bad teams, losing to bad teams. 4-13 in the last 17, 2 out of 3 to the Reds. Just an ugly series. When, you know, they pitched, they couldn't hit. When they pitched, they hit, they couldn't pitch. Vice versa. Thursday, Senga wasn't great, but they also couldn't score. 0 runs. They had one chance. We're about to score, get thrown out of home. You know, Verlander pitches great. They don't hit, but luckily they hit enough as Pete hits a couple of dingers this week and gets his bat back going. But, you know, the talks are beginning of, you know, you got to make a move. You got to bring up one of these young guys. You got to make a change and ignite a spark. Buck tried to ignite a spark on Tuesday by getting tossed for the first time as Mets manager. It kind of worked. They rallied, they came back, but they still fell short. And the goal is to win series, but right now the Mets can't even win games, and it's wildly frustrating to watch. Let's talk about it with Clem here. Clem, welcome back to Amazing But True. You know, I said what's up to you, and you said not the Mets vibes right now. They are down. It is still early, and I guess at some point it's still early runs out. That expires like milk, but right now it's still early. But God, this team is just painful to watch.
It's painful. It hurts. I don't want to have to rebrand the show Sad But True by like July. That's the old days, the ugly days, the times of the Wilpons. But man, it's just tough. There's no way around it. Quite a drop in New York sports the last few weeks too, you know, like everything was high a few weeks ago. It was all good just a week ago. And then obviously the Rangers, the Knicks are still alive, but even that's on by a thread, and our Amazons are looking less so every single day. I always consider myself the optimistic fan on the Mets podcast. Some would say the dumber of the group, but it's hard to get excited about a team when they just keep losing. And when it's the starting pitching that I think is the root cause of it all, right? I think we've, as Mets fans, we've been kind of blessed, even with some bad teams. We usually had the starting in place. The hitting would just disappear on some teams. The relief pitchers would, you know, kill a 3-2 lead in the seventh, eighth, or ninth. This team, I think it all starts with the starting pitching. Let's just call it the ending pitching. That's basically what it is right now, and it's absolutely killing us. And then when that goes, everything goes. The bullpen's overworked. You have guys who shouldn't be in more than once or twice a week pitching two, three times a week. And then the hitting's pressing, and you get to games like on Thursday here, 5-0 final in Cincinnati, lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds. After you lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies, after you got swept in Detroit, this was supposed to be the easy time, Jake. This is when we were supposed to be eating good, and these teams are eating off of us. And are we the easy team now? I have to ask.
Yeah, we look like the easy team, and I'm usually the more positive and sometimes dumber one in this podcast as well. Figgy usually is positive, but you know, it's hard to be positive right now about a team. Yeah, like you said, this was the easy stretch before they had the 14 of 17 series, I believe it is, against teams around 500 or better. These were the series you're like, all right, win this one, win this one. Now you're down to the final one before it gets really tough, when the red hot Rays, you know, a World Series contender come in, the Guardians come here. I mean, this thing could get even uglier. You got to go out and beat the Nationals now, because this thing, I'm not going to say rock bottom, but you know, if you end the weekend, you lose 3 out of 4 to the Nationals, and you're looking at a team, you know, that's 8 or 19 and 23. I mean, they're already on they would be in last place. The Nationals would pass them, which is just alarming with when you compare rosters, that the Nationals are even in the same conversation as the Mets. And Dom Smith, who has been a better DH option than the Mets DH options right now, the times are not good. All right, so we talk about the offense not hitting. You know, after these series, you have to make a change. And listen, Daniel Vogelbach hasn't been terrible. He's hitting 256. But Mark Canna doesn't belong in the lineup right now at 217. He's doing nothing for you. He's not getting on base even a third of the time. Are you in the camp of call up Vientos and Mauricio? Vientos, 11 homers, 32 ribbies, 353, 444 OBP. Mauricio, 6 homers, 20 ribbies, 338 in 35 games. The issue is these guys don't have really a position, and their position is where they have Beatty and Lindor. Do you call one, both? What do you do here going into the weekend?
You call them both up, but this is the rub. Their position is starting pitcher. If they can go out and start and give me a quality start, 6 innings, 300, you know what? You don't even got to give me 6. Give me 4 innings, 2 earned, and it's like, I'm not asking, you know, a ton, but it's better than what we've been getting, then I'm sold. I don't need to see rookie hitters making rookie hitter mistakes at the plate and figure it out on the job when they're down 6-1 in the fifth inning. It's just not going to help us at all. And, you know, again, you're bringing these guys up, and it's like, you're going to tell me these guys are going to do better than the guys that are here. I'm not going to believe it. I'm sorry. I can't. And when you said, it's not like the defense is going to get better if they don't really have positions, I feel like it has to start at the top. It has to start with the guy whose name is in the paper, right? SP. That's the guy that are going to have to start it. And unfortunately, we don't have that in our system. Well,
what about putting one of them at DH though, and replacing Vogelbach and using a Vientos as a DH? I don't think it gets much worse than Vogelbach. I mean, he's getting on 1 out of every 4 times. He's not hitting with a ton of power. Why not put one of those guys at DH though?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's fair. I know he hasn't had the power and stuff like that. His on base is almost 400 Vogelbach, but it's like, you want to, the big boy, you want to see hit the ball hard and hit it far, right? So he's not doing that. I also think, like, let's just look at the other guys who have, you know, been brought up from the minors. Beatty's batting 250 right now. Alvarez about the same, and it's like, they're getting better, but there's like a little bit of a learning curve with these guys. We saw it with Beatty last year before he got hurt. We saw it with Alvarez in the beginning of the season. I don't think these guys are going to come up, and again, I don't think these young bats are going to come in and be able to fix something on the fly. If you want to say Vientos, I could live with Vientos, and you're going to have him as your righty DH, and you're going to have Vogelbach as your lefty, and then maybe you sprinkle in Vientos more so against, you know, you will bat him against right-handers as well here and there. You're kind of just going Vogelbach with the numbers. But I don't think, like, I think we're looking at the wrong part of the ship that is causing the everything to sink right now. If we're just going to worry, it stinks that we don't have a John Main that we could just bring up and maybe get hot for a few weeks. And we brought up John Main on our podcast the other day. I go, wow, We're bringing up John Maine right now. We are in a dark place as a fan base. And I love John Maine, but it's like, I don't want to be thinking about that when we had that off season of everything being, you know, rainbows and sunshine.
And there's two sides of this. A lot of people are saying Billy Epler didn't build a deep enough staff, but they're on their eighth and ninth starting pitchers. I mean, there's not many teams that have nine, ten, really. It's getting to that point. There's not many teams that have 15 guys deep. You can argue, yeah, they should have a couple more guys, but they don't expect the entire rotation to get hurt, to get suspended, to have all, you know, lingering issues. And Scherzer, not only is his, you know, what he's doing on the field an issue, these lingering injuries from, you know, a back to a neck. I mean, what's next? He's working his way down the body or up the body. I don't know, up the kinetic chain, as Figgy will like to say, those big words that I don't understand. But if Scherzer is either hurt or not pitching well, this team is doomed, flat, period. That's it. And Senga, while he's had good put out pitches, striking guys out, he can't give up four or five runs and this team wins, and he's got to have better command. The real issue is here, along with the starting pitching, the Mets are getting down early, and fighting back every night is such a difficult task. This team was great last year scoring in the first inning. Now they're great at giving up runs in the first inning, and it just seems like the morale isn't there because they're losing so early every night.
Yeah, and you said it, like you have when before the season started, we all said the same thing, man, if this pitching stays healthy and they don't get old overnight, we are going to look good. But if it doesn't, we're in trouble. Well, this is what trouble looks and feels like, right? And it's happening basically every single night. Quintana, we didn't even get to the regular season. Cookie was there for a couple of starts. He's out for a while. Scherzer, like you said, it's starting to feel like it's all just the neck bones connected to the shoulder, which is connected to the elbow. It's all just falling apart. Verlander obviously had his armpit issues. Thank God for him, though, because if he didn't pitch like he did last night, that would have been an L. There's no doubt in my mind. And Senga is having the exact kind of like bumps that I think we all thought a pitcher from Japan would have. The mound is a different height. The ball is smaller. I didn't realize that when we signed him, by the way. So that like got a whole bunch of anxiety in me from the jump. And it's like, and the other thing I think, you know, we haven't really talked about is that McGill and Peterson haven't answered the bell like they did last year. And obviously McGill's been better than Peterson, but Peterson has been like Matsian so far. And it's everything that we worried about him last year. I don't know. I'd love to hear Figgy talk about like what he thinks changed between last year and this year. Cause the guys who were there last year that are here this year, including Hefner, the pitching coach, who we were all ready just to say, Uncle Stevie, just give this guy $10 million so he never leaves us. You know, we could never have to worry about him again. Every single time someone got hurt last year, someone else stepped up and they answered the bell. That's not happening this year. And granted, again, we're 10 guys deep. That's two rotations worth of starters we've gone through so far. You shouldn't have that by like it was by May 1st. I think we were on our 10th starter of the year. That's a problem. And, you know, I can't you're going to yell at Joey Fuego and you're going to yell at Yakabonis. It's like those guys shouldn't be pitching more than a handful of times by May 11th. And these guys are being, you know, taxed more than we ever thought they would. So I think that's where the problem lies. And you know what the messed up thing is, Jake? There was really, it's not like there's another answer out there. I just saw Jacob DeGrom another 2 to 3 weeks. They're saying at least, and I'm going to say at least. They said 2 to 3 more weeks. We know, Jake, it's always at least 2 to 3 more weeks. You know, the hitting, Correa, he was supposed to get the bag, 189. They're booing him in Minnesota. You must be really bad if the Midwestern people in Minnesota are booing you, right? And then it's like you go through all the pitchers, Taiwan Walker, all these guys that we were looking to go. They've all kind of struggled. I think Eovaldi is the one guy who's been decent so far, and he has like huge injury question marks that, you know, could appear at any given moment. So at this point, it's like those guys that start the game off, they're going to have to start everything for us. I do think the offense will come around. I could live with bringing Vientos up. But again, it's kind of a double-edged sword where if he doesn't hit, you're just going to get that zero in the lineup. And if you want to trade him and he gets exposed in the big leagues, it's going to hurt the trade value of it all. So if you want to say bring up Vientos, I'm down with that. But I do think it starts and ends with the pitching, which I think we were all on the same page. These 40-year-olds, it's a big risk. It's a big gamble. It's a lot of money behind it, basically 100 mil. This whole payroll is centered around those two guys. And if they're going to be hurt or if Max is going to be struggling and he's going to be hurt and he's going to have a different injury every day of the week, this is what it looks like. Our worst nightmares come true.
Yeah, a couple of things to react to. One, good point about you look at the what-if guys, and they've all been terrible. They've all been worse than what the Mets are putting out there. So there will be a lot of people on, you know, Twitter.com that will argue Billy Epler could have done this. He should have put it. The roster is great. Like, that's what's so frustrating about this. Like, you look top to bottom, it is a good team outside of the middle relief, which is pure trash. And Jimmy Iacobone is now to the IL. He shouldn't have been on the team, but he did fine outside of one outing. But, you know, their middle relief, Tommy Hunter, I say every week, I like the guy. We talked him on the field last year. Great dude, but looks finished. Like, he's, his back's going to give out. He's done. There's just no depth. And these starters, like you say, they're not going long enough. Finally, Verlander went seven innings. It's a reason for a parade. Like, a seven-inning outing is just like, go down the canyon of heroes. Like, it's just hard to find those from this Mets team right now. I don't think there's much else they could have done. And Diaz going down really screwed them. It screwed the bullpen. Other guys had to step up and do things they're not used to. So that changed a lot of things once Diaz went down. And at this point, there's just no one available to get a trade for. Maybe in July, maybe if the Pirates finally come down to earth and struggle, one of their relievers. But right now, there's nobody you're getting in a trade. Leon was the kind of guy on the scrap you picked up who was a good pickup as a guy who's had a good major league career. But those don't grow on trees. There's not many just, you know, good major leaguers out there as free agents that you could pick up in mid to late May. So, you know, it's going to be one of the guys from the minors getting called up. And then you got to hope Max is okay. Verlander luckily was good, but got to get six or seven innings out of these guys. And the bats just got to come together. I just think, you know, the lineup is there and Alvarez is coming around. So that's good. Pete, a couple homers. That's good. Beatty is now in a little bit of a slump. Nimmo's coming back around again. Nimmo's been fine. Marte is really just like, Marte was such a key to this team's success last year. He's been terrible, Clem. And we've talked about on the show, maybe he's still hurt, the offseason surgeries. He's not all the way there, but we don't want to keep making excuses. But without Starling Marte at his best, you see what that does to the lineup, his ability to get on base, his ability to steal bases, his home runs. Like, he's not hitting homers, which he did last year and what he's done throughout his career. You expect 20, 25 homers out of Starling Marte. You're not getting that either.
Yeah, and I mean, when he got hurt last year, that's when everything kind of fell apart at the end of the season. I mean, you don't want to just say it was all one guy, but man, it just felt like there was a huge hole in the lineup when he was gone, and you felt it with, like I said, the power and the speed. It was all there, and you know, dropping him in the lineup. And I know Buck wants to get him going, but at some point, you're like, is it going to happen? And he's a guy who's, you know, older, has had some injury issues in the past and all that kind of stuff. And you're just like, we built this team around some older veterans. And if they are kind of either having their injury issues or just where they take that big step down in terms that they regress with age, it's honestly, it's a terrifying thought. But again, like, it's you don't want to say it's early, but it is. Mother's Day hasn't even come, which Mother's Day is low key like a haunted day for Mets fans. We all know Bill Hall and all the hits from over the years. But can you imagine if like Carlos Rodon was on the Mets and he was, you know, not even showing up, like Quintana hurts him just kind of disappearing? That's like a short term contract and we didn't go in with huge expectations. Rodon for the Yankees, I don't know if he's going to pitch this year. There's rumors going around and all that kind of stuff. And that was the guy a lot of us wanted. And it's like, it's terrifying to think that like it could be worse. But with some of these guys, it could be worse. Max is not a long term guy. If we had DeGrom here and he was out with this, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, and then we had five more years of this, we'd be losing our minds right now. So I'm trying to like not be the complete idiot optimist, but I'm also trying to talk some of the pessimists off the edge, because let's be honest, they're all ready to jump right now. But like, this is why you guys enjoy a 101 win season when it's going on, because we were fighting the tides all year last year. And I'm like, guys, like the Braves are doing awesome, but you have to 100. I've never seen an 100 win season in my life. That was fun. I tried to have fun as much during it, as much as it was trying to tell everyone else to shut up. It ended poorly, but you know, sometimes the matchups don't work out. That's why the Dodgers haven't won a real World Series since the 80s, right? I'm Mickey Mouse in that 2020 World playoffs. Everyone made the playoffs except for us that year.
Yeah, no, and I agree. That was a magical year last year. A lot of people write it off because of a bad weekend. Yeah, they win one more game. They don't face the Padres. Maybe October winds up differently for the Mets in 2022. But that team had so many special moments last year. I had my record 67 games. I was there every night because I couldn't get enough of it. I live in Astoria, so I'm close. I couldn't get enough of going to the ballpark. No kids, single, so I'm chilling. And I was loving it. And like this year, there's times I'm like, people will give me a ticket. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go tonight. And like, that's alarming. Like, I loved going last year because they were fun to watch. There hasn't been that fire and desire yet in this team. And, you know, we hate to sound like Frank the Tank, who's, you know, the most pessimistic fan of them all. He wrote them off as soon as Diaz went down. Excuse me. It sounds like Frank right now.
They're killing you.
My mic's falling. This is just a mess. The Mets are ruining our lives. But like you said, it's not Mother's Day. So shout out to all the mothers out there. Get them a nice present this Sunday. We'll be getting my mom some earrings that she asked for. So shout out to Mama Brown. But yeah, it's a long way. At some point, we might see Gary Sanchez in a few weeks, who went 2-for-4 in his first game for the Syracuse Mets. Michael Perez is up. Tomas Nito with vision issues. And I tweeted, we all have vision issues watching this team. We all are struggling to see what they're putting out there because they're better than this. You know they're better than this, Clem. And like, it's going to turn. I feel it. It's going to come. It's got, you know, it'd be nice to start it against Dom Smith and the stadium that doesn't have straws because it's against like the DC laws to have straws in a stadium. What a dump of a stadium. I had the worst. That's when I saw Frank in person opening day in DC last year. That stadium sucks, but they got to win 3 out of 4 this weekend, Clem. You got to either 3 out of 4 or sweep. A series split here is a loss. Losing 3 out of 4 is a loss. And if you lose all four, I mean, you'll see both those guys get called up or one of them. There'll be some move by the end of the weekend if they lose this series.
Yeah, that's fair. And to be fair, like I'm not letting the offense off the hook. They were kind of middle of the pack. I think they're 20th now in runs per game and the starters are 23rd in ERA. So it's like, it doesn't feel like they've been as bad because they're kind of like they'll get shut out, but then they'll score 6 and then they'll get one run and then they'll go score 7. And then but you have those games like that comeback that falls short. And you're like, you just need one more hit, guys. But there is a chance they could definitely I don't think they're going to do Mauricio yet, just because I think he was kind of found money and I still think they want to know if it's real. I think Vientos's bat right now is much more real. And you said it perfectly. Anything less than 3 or 4 is going to feel like a loss of a series. I think there was a Marlins series where they took 2 out of 3 or it was something like that. And it felt like a loss of a series because it felt like they should have swept them. I think we now have to dial back our expectations of this team a little bit. But, you know, they got Gore, who already pitched well against us, but they don't have Gray. They don't have to face Josiah Gray. So it's like, you're not facing the best the Nats have to offer, which is like, almost feels like an oxymoron as I say it. But I'm looking here, it's McGill, it's Joey Cherv, it's Verlander, and it's good old TBD, man. Whole lot of TBDs pitching for us this year, and it's only mid-May.
Well, on the broadcast, all 4 games said TBA. Those are the guys going, but we don't know which day and where. So a lot of TBAs, TBDs, whatever you prefer over the weekend, plus cash considerations, all of our favorites in Wilpon Mets land. Max has got to be out there. Max has got to get back because at this point, why not just put him on the IL? If he's going to be out 6 days, why not have him sit for 10 days and get that neck right?
Yeah, like your boy Figgy says there, you know, the kinetics of everything, the neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone, like get right and don't go down again. That's all you can ask for Max at this point. I just had to call it out to you. You said it perfectly, man. Like there's certain things that give me the Wilpon vibes. And I'm not saying this is Wilpon. I think anyone who says this is the Wilpons doesn't remember what the Wilpons was like. But when your catcher goes down with a thing called dry eyes, that's Wilponsian. That's anal fissures 2.0. Like we lived it with Kaz Matsui, Valley Fever with our guy Ike Davis. We've been through it where it's like the absurd diagnoses. What did Noah have? Hoof and foot disease or foot and mouth disease?
Hand, foot, and mouth disease. Yeah.
Like it's starting to feel a little like it where Nito has a thing called dry eyes disease. It's because he's crying because he has to catch these guys every single night and he has to catch 6 different bullpen guys. I heard, who is our 4th inning guy? That's when you know there's a problem. I'm all for shortening the starters in terms of stuff, but when you have a 4th inning guy, that just means your starters aren't even trying. They're not even showing up. They're not getting off the bus.
Yeah, either dry. He might just be getting stoned too much, and he's getting dry eyes from trying to deal with working for this team. You know, a lot of people saw that. They're like, that was me on 420 at 11 p.m. What do you mean? What are these vision issues you're talking about? Get the Visine ready. You got to stay strapped with Visine. All right, 4 this weekend against the Nationals. Go win 3 out of 4. Go beat Dom Smith, who the famous clip that I posted of Dom Smith did grab my butt cheek once in the dugout when a ball hit me in the butt as I was sitting there interviewing him. So thank you, Dom Smith, for that butt cheek grab, and I hope you go 0-for-16 this weekend. Well, a funny thing, Wednesday night at Marquee, I saw Matt Harvey outside, and he is in the news because he retired last week, and we didn't get really to react to it. Not surprising, he retires. He's still at the club with models, popping, you know, top shelf bottles. He made enough money, he could really do what he wants. But what's your feel on the Harvey career, the Harvey era? Because when he was on, it was one of the most magical times ever. But, you know, it was only really 2 years, and really 2015. And we'll always have the memory of, you know, the ninth inning, him begging to go back out there and him kind of blowing it there. That could be a Terry Collins thing, but it was hard to take him out. I mean, he was begging to stay in. He was dominating, and he got the ovation when he came back out there. But what's your feel on the Matt Harvey era?
Yeah, there's two things. One, it makes me feel old, even though I think his career was cut short. When a guy like Matt Harvey comes up, and, you know, I was already at that point, Dark Knight. But I just feel sad more than anything, because it's like, you know how much he was angling for the payday. And I know he did a lot of stupid stuff. There was probably a little bit of diva. I mean, you want to talk about Wilpon stuff. It's like the pee stuff, the bladder. He's holding his pee too long. Is it an STD? And this is the kind of stuff we were scrambling about like every day. I also think he was in an organization run by idiots. I think if they had the kind of infrastructure they had with Uncle Stevie, I think a guy like Harvey would have been able to thrive, and he would have gotten his payday. But, you know, it's all said and done. I just feel like it's like, what did they say in Bronx Tale? I'm so happy I just quoted Bronx Tale out of the blue. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent. Like, it just feels like that. He wanted to get that payday too. And to his credit, if he doesn't pitch in 2015 during that stretch run and into the World Series, maybe his, you know, career ends up differently. But he did it for the team and, you know, gave us all those memories. You know, the Harvey's better with, Strasburg, who's another guy who kind of just hit that. Obviously, he got the ring and everything, and he got the bag too. So I just feel sad for him. But hey, man, he's living a better life than I am right now. I got my kids screaming at me here. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to pay for my driveway to get paved. I don't think Matt Harvey's losing any sleep about paying for his driveway to get paved or anything like that.
Yeah, career earnings, just under $32 million. So, you know, if he got that one more big payday and got a four-year, $80 million deal or something, that would have been big. But, hey, he got that one big year out of the Angels. He got a few nice years of $4 or $5 million out of the Mets. So yeah, I agree. And you know, there was the times I would bring the little pitch stick thing. It had his cutout on it, and I'd bring it to the stadium and wave it. There was the Dark Knight. Everyone had the Batman, the mask on. It was an experience. Happy Harvey Day was a real special thing for that 1 year. I mean, it was just like DeGrom, but I don't know. Harvey Day almost beat DeGrom Day that 1 year, right?
No, 100%. Like, I'm not going to compare like the watching Harvey pitch to DeGrom, because DeGrom at his app, it's the best pitcher I think I've ever seen in my life. Right. But Harvey Day was we were so low as a fan base, and it was hope. And like, when you have hope, when there's not a ray of sunshine for years, basically, and that ray of sunshine comes and you go and you feel it and it's warm. I think the happy Harvey Day vibes were better than the DeGrom thing, just because with DeGrom too, every single time he like winced a little, you'd be like, uh-oh, what's going on here, Jake? So yeah, man, happy Harvey Day. It was a very special thing, and it's a bummer that it's over. And hey, I don't say this much because I hated the dude, but shout out Artie Moreno for giving him that 11 mil, because it's a cloud he landed on. What is it? Shoot for the stars. So if you fall, you land on a cloud or something like that. Like, that's a nice cloud he's living on. He's doing all right. He's clubbing in the middle of the week in May in New York. He's doing just fine.
But good to see Harvey still enjoying life. Well, Mets Nationals, go take the series, please. And I don't want this whole season to be talking about losing to bad teams, underachieving, because there's just too much talent there. So you're on the side of they will right the ship, and you like what they have. You're not on the Frank the Tank, the Mets are winning 50 game season.
Nope. The name of the podcast is called We Gotta Believe, because we gotta believe. With this team, I've seen way too many darker days that somehow turned into 75 and sunny. I'm gonna believe, because it's like, if not, I might as well just start, you know, NFL schedules coming out. I could just look at that and, you know, just worry about the basketball playoffs. But it's like, if I'm going to be in for it for the whole summer, I might as well. You got to believe something's going to turn around when it's all said and done. But at the same point, KFC said it like 2 episodes ago. He said, let me tell you a little preview for the next series, Clem. We're going to think we're better than this team. We're going to lose 2 out of 3. And then we're going to wonder if we're actually the bad team. And you know what? Since he said that, we've lost 2 out of 3 to the Reds and to the Rockies. And now you got the Nats for 4. So I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic if starting pitching ever figures it out. That's my final answer. I'm with you, Jake.
Yeah, let's go. Let's turn this around. It's sweep the damn Nationals. Sweep Dom Smith. And then City Field could be rocking. Listen, the Ray series is great. And Guardians, we got Sunday night baseball that weekend. That Mets Guardians is Sunday night. And then Cubs, Rockies, Phillies, it's a tough month. Even the Rockies aren't easy, as we saw last weekend at Citi Field. So the tide turns now, this second. Mets, go win. You give out these stupid robo-knit little doll things. Look at this thing.
That's a freaky thing, man. They ever do that game got rained out. We were going to get the Mr. Met one. That is creepy, man. That's like a voodoo doll. We don't need any voodoo dolls, man. We're getting hit by all the voodoo right now. It's no bueno.
Isn't this like the worst promotion of all time? Like, that's imagine creepy. Lining up at Citi Field and be like, I need this. Like, literally the star of the next Mets horror movie. Well, Clem, appreciate you coming on. And Mondays and Thursdays, but twice a week, you guys usually drop your shows. We got to believe. Go check that out and follow them on Twitter at The Clem Report. Hopefully we'll check back in with you later in the year when the Mets have turned this thing upside down. Boy, they turned me. That was back when you were born and back when Diana Ross, right, back in the day. Thanks for coming on. Amazing but true, bro.
Thanks for having me, man. We're doing this together. If it's me and you by ourselves, we're turning the vibes around. I hear the kids fighting upstairs. They're about to get yelled at because daddy is mean when the Mets are losing. So make me happy, Mets. Come on, let's go.
Go be a father now. Go do your fatherly duties. Take care of your kids. We'll close out this episode next.
It's obvious, you know, when you don't score runs, it's impossible to win a game.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Alrighty, great stuff there from Clem. We are keeping it positive. The mojo, the vibes. If they lose to the Nationals, it's going to get ugly, though. If you lose to the Nationals, it's going to get ugly. Because like I said, it gets tougher. And then June, the schedule in June is daunting. It is a scary schedule for the Mets in June, where you are facing playoff team after playoff team after playoff team after playoff team. So beat the Nationals 3 out of 4 or sweep, and then you return home, and then we'll see what they do. They'll probably lose to the Rays, but maybe, you know, a couple wins here will spark them. It takes a few wins. Last year, the Mets were resilient, where they didn't lose 3 games in a row till like July or August, whatever it was, and they kept winning series. This year, there's just a lot of losing. It's hard to get positive mojo because they're just not going on any sort of win streaks. That'll say goodnight to episode 144 of Amazing Mature Mets Podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Andrew Hartz for helping me produce the show. Subscribe to Amazing Mature on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, wherever you get podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating, write in a nice review. Subscribe to the New York Post Sports YouTube page. If you're watching us there now, give us that thumbs up. Comment below how you feeling about the Mets. Do you want them to call up Vientos and Mauricio, one of the two? What do you want them to do here? There's not many options. You got to go internal. So comment below on YouTube. Go to that Amazing But True playlist. Follow that so you get updates when we drop new episodes and new clips. And we'll be back at the ballpark, of course, next week for that good series against the Rays. And then Cleveland coming to town. That's another good series. Follow us on Twitter at Amazing But True. And follow me at Jake Brown Radio. Next Monday, you'll see Nelson Figueroa, my co-host. Make sure you tune in. If the Knicks don't play, you'll have extra time to watch. 7 o'clock on Picks 11. It'll be Figgy and Mark Melusis. So their new daily show, 7 p.m. weekdays, starts on Monday. So might have to hit the DVR and watch that one and critique my co-host as he is putting polls out about the Knicks. Like he's got to become an overall New York sports guy. It's not just the Mets, Figgy, in town. A lot of other teams to cover, and he'll be all over it. We'll be all over it. We'll be all over the Mets next. We should drop our next episode on Tuesday. Like we said, 4-game series Monday afternoon. We'll see about Monday night if the Knicks play. Obviously, I'll be at Game 7. So we'll drop it Tuesday morning, me and Nelson Figueroa, our next episode. Until then, go beat the Nationals. Dom Smith, grab some butt cheeks. Just don't grab some home runs or grab some hits. We need you to get out, and we need the Mets to win. We'll close it out like we always do, despite the vibes being at an all-time low for the 18-20 Mets. Let's go, Mets. Dominic Smith grabbed my butt cheek once.